Many saints say that there is no greater source of conversion for a heart than to look upon Jesus on the cross. And this is exactly what we need to do. We need to cross that border from remorse to repentance. Many people are stuck in remorse for years and years. It's terrible. But instead of looking ourselves, or in French we have an expression that might surprise you, but it gives the idea. We say contemplating our own belly button. So, instead of doing that, let's look at Jesus. Let's look at the Savior and the Savior crucified. And then we are sure to be freed. Freed for the torment of remorse. And we are sure to be washed in the waters of repentance, those purifying waters, you know. But, some will say, when you are mired in sin, you are no longer able to climb those steps that lead out of the prison of the heart, even though the beckoning little light shines, because you are sort of paralyzed, you can't move anymore. And Judas too was paralyzed this way. When he got up from the Passover dinner, when he left the table of love. He cut himself off from that meeting of love with Jesus. When he left the table, he left the church, and he went out into the deep night, into the darkness. He left the communion of brothers. He left the church. For those who are in Judas' position, unable to climb those steps alone because they are too weak, Jesus offers the help of the church to escape from our prison and find ourselves out in the open air again, which means when we are too paralyzed to take a single step alone, the Lord provides an escalator. Well, of course, this is an image. But how could the Lord not provide for a lift for those who are too weak? Listen, to take this escalator that carries us up by itself, the only thing we have to do is go back to the brethren and say, brothers, I'm lost. I'm done for. I've had it. Here I am. I'm falling. And yes, the church will definitely catch us if only we fall into her arms in all humility. At this point of the story, at the ultimate hour for Judas, he digs himself even deeper and deeper into his isolation. And it's very easy for Satan to whisper to him, now you're lost. And Satan makes him confused. This is very important. Satan makes him confused. You have lost with you are lost. As a matter of fact, Judas has lost everything. You know that money that he was so greedy for? And he had worked so hard for it, he's gone. Finished. And those friends he had contacted throughout the whole business, they have proven to be false friends. You know, the whole foundation of his plan has just collapsed completely. He has lost everything and gained nothing. And Judas realizes here that his crime went much further than that he had thought at first. He has completely lost the control of the situation. And my dear people, it can also happen that one of us commits a bad act out of spite, from a spirit of vengeance or envy or jealousy. And then we see that the consequences go far beyond anything we had foreseen before. Let me give an example. Saying something mean or wicked to someone can push them over the edge into a depression, for example, or even a nervous breakdown. If we make a cruel remark to someone, this can bring about a suicide even. And when such a calamity happens, Satan is sure to go on the attack and he insinuates to our ear, now it's too late, the evil is done and there is no way out anymore and it's all your fault, you see. And then we are terrified and we feel overwhelmed by the outcome of the bad thing that we've done. And it is precisely at that moment that Satan brings out his favorite tool from his bag of tricks. And let me tell you, he has many tricks. He says, now it's too late. You see it for yourself. What a liar. It's all one huge lie. Don't ever believe this. It's a lie. It's never too late. There is no evil we can commit that is irreparable. Isn't Jesus a conqueror of evil? There is a saint I love very much, is Saint Catherine of Siena. She said,
"When our sin is confessed with true repentance, Jesus changes it into a sweet-smelling perfume."
Can you believe this? It is true. For the power of Jesus' love is stronger than the power of evil when we repent. And even evil is transformed into good by the healing presence of Jesus, of his merciful love. Okay, let's go back to our story. At this point, Jesus is still hoping, desperately hoping. Judas has perhaps only a few more minutes to live, and Jesus resorts here to his ultimate weapon of love, because he so badly wants to counter the depth of Judas' despair with the depth of his mercy. They are no longer physically in sight of one another, but their souls are in close contact as Judas goes down, 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 down into the prison of death, into despair. I don't know if you ever heard of Marthe Robin. She's a mystic from France, and she died in 1981, and she had the stigmata, and for 50 years she lived the passion of Jesus every Friday. And when she shared some pieces of this passion, she said that during the dark nights of Jesus' imprisonment, you know, when he was in that prison of Caiaphas, Jesus was hung up by one arm from a rope. And we can still see that prison when we visit Jerusalem nowadays. And knowing this, I can't help think that Jesus himself wanted to be with Judas somehow, sharing his fate somehow. Judas was also hanging at that moment by a rope. Judas hangs himself so that his body will die along with his soul. And during those same terrible minutes, Jesus is also hanging from a rope. And Martha Robin, who so deeply shared the pain of Jesus during his passion, also tells us that Jesus, when he was hanging there in that prison, twisted slowly this way and that, this way and that, and that this move made him dizzy. And she too could feel this dizziness, the giddiness of mercy. At this point, there are no more words between Judas and Jesus. Complete silence. But how can we not see how closely they are joined, these two? One who has hanged himself from despair and one who is suspended with love. He who is the King of Kings, hanging from a rope like a criminal, spinning dizzily out of love, while Judas, who has hanged himself out of despair, struggles and kicks in his agony. Jesus lives Judas's agony with him. From the Bible, we have one psalm, number 88, who in particular may reveal how Jesus prayed when he was hanging in that awful prison.
O Lord, God of my salvation, when at night I cry out in your presence, let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like those who have no help, like those forsaken among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call on you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you.
This is a prayer of Jesus, and even then he still hopes, because it's still not too late for Judas. God's love reaches even to the depth of the greatest misery. In his hand are the depths of the earth. When Jesus revealed his heart of mercy to Sister Faustina, he said, speaking of a soul who entrusts himself to the Lord's mercy,
at the hour of his death, I will defend him like my own glory.
Have you really grasped this truth? The hour of Judas's death has arrived now, and Jesus is ready to defend him like his glory, twisting and turning as he is, hanging by a rope. An apostle is dying. One of the chosen is in the throes of death. And Jesus loves this apostle too much. One last time, Jesus entreats Judas to have a change of heart. He is only a few minutes from death, perhaps only a few seconds, but it is still not too late. The soul of Jesus presses against the soul of Judas. And here we yearn to cry out to him, "No, Judas, you are not alone in your depth. No matter what you think, Judas, someone else is going before you into the abyss. You are not the only one to face the terrors of death. Another precedes you in the silence of blood on this Holy Thursday." And Judas, you know his name. He's called the Light. His name is Life. Judas, there is still time to come back. Judas, like the woman caught in adultery that little Teresa of Lisieux speaks of, who repented just one instant and was taken up to heaven by the angels. Like the parishioners of the Holy Cure of Ars, who out of despair threw himself into the river and repented just between the bridge and the water and was saved. Just like them, Judas, you still have enough time. You can repent in a simple twinkling of an eye. All you have to do, Judas, is cry out to God in that very instant when the death throes rack your flesh and bones. Judas, just say one word, that word that Jesus teaches you from the cross. Father, forgive them. Forgive.